Your name, please?
Reverend Dr. Harris.
And your position and occupation?
Oh, Bishop of Liberia.
Bishop Harris, is the white man through in Africa?
My viewpoint is that from now on, if he's going to operate in Africa, especially commercially or industrially, that it's got to be done on a partnership basis.
This is Viewpoint, an unrehearsed and personal interview with another distinguished and well-known personality who will reveal to you, the American public, what he holds to be the responsibilities of his position in American life, produced by the Episcopal Church and brought to you as a public service by this station. Mr. Kennedy's guest today is the Right Reverend Bravid Washington Harris, Bishop of the Episcopal Missionary District of Liberia, Africa. Here is the moderator of the award-winning series, Viewpoint, the Reverend Dana F. Kennedy. Mr. Kennedy.
Bishop Harris, is the white man through in Africa?
I would say by no means. In the first place, we must realize that practically all the industrial and commercial developments in Africa up to this time were initiated by Europeans, foreigners. And that will be the case from now on. But one of the things that the Africans are very much concerned about is that from now on, practically all of these developments must be carried on in cooperation with the Africans. In other words, they must have a stake in it.
Is there any general feeling for or against the European or American?
Oh, I wouldn't say so. I wouldn't think so. Not as such. But what they are concerned about is, as I say, that in the future, they got to be taken in as partners and not operated on a basis of a foreign concession, primarily for the sake of the concessionaires.
Do you feel that they resent being dependent on anybody outside themselves?
Well, I don't think so. I think they are very much concerned about getting the necessary aid for the development of their resources and their economy. And they realize that it's got to come from the outside. In many cases, it comes from former governments, colonial governments. It's coming also from private capital. And, of course, it's coming from governments as such.
Well, now, what difference is the change making to, say, the common man of Africa? How is his life different?
It's quite different. In the first place, you move now practically all over into a money economy. In other words, they're working for wages. It's not a barter system anymore, whereby he works and produces goods and exchanges what he has for what he needs and so on. Now it's developing into a money economy, and that is very important, which means that it affects wages. Unions are being organized to protect workers in their rights to work and so on. And they are becoming very strong in practically all of these countries. So that from now on, this tendency and this process is going to increase and not decrease.
Well, now, what difference does this make to the average African man or woman? Why does he want to produce so much?
Well, because he wants to join the 20th century. He wants to come into the 20th century. In other words, you see, that's been one of the problems in Africa. Education, public health services, all of these services that the normal country has for its peoples are not available in the mass for the African people. In other words, there's no such thing as a mass educational system. There's no such thing as a mass health system. And you can't have it either, unless there is a greater production of wealth. And so now people are concerned about production so as to raise their standard of living.
As things now stand, what is it possible to say what's the difference in the overall outlook on life between an African citizen and a United States citizen?
They're working now for themselves and for their country. Whereas in previous years, they were thinking in terms of working and producing for somebody else. Now it's working and producing for themselves and raising their standard of living. It's their country now. It's quite different.
Well, now, speaking of the standard of living, are there any basic things which a United States citizen would take for granted, which perhaps a citizen of Africa does not take for granted?
Oh, yes. Take housing, for instance. Well, now, it's very simple. Taking the area as a whole, and I'm speaking primarily of Africa south of the Sahara, the mud hut, with no conveniences whatsoever, none whatever. No electricity, no water. And now, they are building permanent houses. And every one of the governments are concerned about the production of power. They want electricity. They want refrigeration. They want radios and even television. These things that ordinarily are taken for granted in developed countries. But now the African is concerned about these things for himself. And also for clothing. Well, you see, in the tropics, it doesn't make a difference whether a fellow has, in a sense, any clothes or not. But now they want clothes. Not necessarily Western clothes, but they want shoes and clothing. In other words, they want a better living and a better life, and that's what they're working for.
Is there any great change taking place in the status of women in Africa?
Well, I'd say so. In a good many of these countries, women are for the first time voting. First time. And that's been one of the problems in Africa. Because what education was available, in most cases, was confined to men, not women. So that you had a situation where women were able to make a very limited contribution in the development of that country and their peoples. But that is changing, and changing very rapidly. So that now, the emphasis in education is just as much on women as it is on men.
Well, now, what would be the difference? Let us say we had a grandmother and a granddaughter in the same room. How would their outlooks be different?
Radically different if the granddaughter had been exposed to education.
Well, let's say the granddaughter has been exposed to the new wind that's blowing in Africa.
Yes, and that's true. And for the most part, it would be practically impossible to change the grandmother. I mean, she's still living the way that she's always lived. But what happens is that these young ones take responsibility for the old ones, and they take them in, not with a view toward changing their basic pattern, but giving them the advantages that they have as far as they're able to appreciate it.
Well, now, what's the difference in the basic pattern between the grandmother and the granddaughter?
Well, as I say, the women, for the most part, they were not exposed to education. In the mass, as men were, so they were not developed. They were not trained. But now that's changing. For instance, nursing, in education, teacher training, in home economics, and in politics. Now. But it's going to take some time, of course. But the point is that it's the process is developing and developing very rapidly.
Are the women interested in the future of Africa?
Indeed so.
Why?
And they're having meetings. They even having regional meetings on the among themselves. In other words, they're organizing now to increase their stake and their responsibility for the development of their country.
Are they quite keen about the future of their country for their children's sake?
Indeed they are. So that you set in motion forces now which are not going to turn back.
Has the missionary efforts of the churches made any contribution to this new Africa?
Very significant contribution. What I would say is not because I happen to be engaged in missionary work, but I think it's generally accepted by all who know anything about it at all, that very few of these countries would have been able to have come to independence and produce the manpower to organize and operate their governments were it not for the contributions which the churches have made down through the years.
Well, now, what have the churches
done?
They
were the people who trained the present-day leadership in most of these countries, so that I wouldn't hesitate to say that were it not for the contribution which the churches have made, very few, if any, of these newly developed countries would have been able to have provided the leadership which they must have at this day to lead their countries.
Is the African, by and large, spiritually minded, interested in the spiritual side of life, as well as gaining these new material things for himself?
Oh, yes, I think so. I think so. And for the most part, what you've got the churches which have been organized and operated by the missionaries. Now, the emphasis now, however, in all of these churches is the training and developing of African leadership. And from now on, they are going to assume a much larger share in the operation of these churches. And that's healthy. That's the way it ought to be. And these leaders are very much concerned about it. And they are taking the responsibility, and I think taking it in a most commendable way. It'll depend, I mean, the final outcome will depend upon how rapidly they're able to develop the leadership that they need for the program of the new day.
I suppose they're not interested in copying any other church or any other program.
No. They're following the norm of their present churches. But at the same time, when it comes to expressions, they want to be in control without departing too far in the basic essentials.
Does the African have any feeling about the racial strife that's taking place in
indeed
the United States?
Indeed so. It's very acute, I'd say. They feel that they not only know about it, all of these incidents that we hear, that we see written up in the paper and so on, they get radio reports, they come in the newspapers, they come in the magazines, and they feel they're part of it. And the result is that that's one of the most important issues that's facing our government now, especially through representatives of the United Nations and the diplomatic personnel which has flooded this country in the past 2 years, just how they are going to be received and how they are being received is going to have a very, very important bearing on our position as one of the leaders in the new world, new day, especially with reference to Africa.
Do you feel that the African has any vision of the future?
Indeed so. And right now I would say this. There are two schools of thought. One, the idea of a federation. The other is another school, which I'd say would include the majority of the countries, feel that they're not quite ready for it yet.
Bishop Harris, what are the satisfactions you get from your work?
What I would say most important is the development through education and through Christian influences of leadership. Young men and young women who will be the future leaders of their country and of their church in all of its phases.
Thank you very much, Bishop Harris, for being with us and for giving us your viewpoints.
Thank you.
This has been Viewpoint, an unrehearsed personal interview with another distinguished and well-known personality, produced as a public service by the Division of Radio and Television of the Protestant Episcopal Church. Today's guest was the Right Reverend Brabad Washington Harris, Bishop of the Episcopal Missionary District of Liberia, Africa.